You know, last time I told you the pressure of materialism towards the seeking of pleasure, and then I mentioned that the Taittiriya Upanishad speaks of levels of ananda, of bliss. Normally the materialist argues that if he is not allowed to go to the extreme end of his seeking of pleasure, something will be missed by him. And in that train of argument, he appeals that he should be left free to go right to the end of that experience of seeking of pleasure, so that he does not feel regret afterwards that he has missed something. Now here is a description of the kind of bliss that is still available, which materialist in any case is going to miss, however much he may try to gain through his process of seeking pleasure. Now what are the levels of bliss which are available, which have been experienced by the rishis? Now these are described here, and which are available to one who has gone into his soul and entered into soul experience. And this is what is to be presented to whoever wants to know what are the kinds of happinesses which are available. And then, having seen it, this is only what is called Shruti. You just listen to this experience. It is not meant for converting anybody. It is only to present to him that here is an experience of the rishi, of the extent of the bliss that is available if one pursues the experience of the soul, as against the materialist who says that if he does not pursue his method of seeking pleasure, maybe that he will miss something out. Therefore he says, allow me the freedom to pursue my own method and go right up to the end of it, so that I do not have regret afterwards that I missed out something which was available to me and I couldn't get it. So here is a description of the bliss that will never be available to him. Even if at his best, even if he tries it at most, this is the kind of bliss which is described, which surely is absent. He will never be able to get it. So let us read what the Taittiriya Upanishad says about it. I omit the first two lines. You start with behold, third line in the middle. Behold this exposition of the bliss to which you shall hearken. Let there be a young man, excellent and lovely in his youth, a great student. Let him have fair manners and a most firm heart and great strength of body, and let all this wide earth be full of wealth for his enjoying. That is the measure of bliss of one human being. Now a hundred and hundredfold of the human measure of bliss is the one bliss of men that have become angels in heaven. And this is the bliss of the Veda-wise whose soul the blight of desire touches not. A hundred and a hundredfold of this measure of angelic bliss is one bliss of gods that are angels in heaven. And this is the bliss of the Veda-wise whose soul the blight of desire touches not. A hundred and a hundredfold of this measure of divine angelic bliss is one bliss of the Father's, whose world of heaven is their world forever. And this is the bliss of the Veda-wise, whose soul the blight of desire touches not. A hundred and a hundredfold of this measure of bliss of the Father's, whose worlds are forever, is one bliss of the gods who are born as gods in heaven. And this is the bliss of the Veda-wise, whose soul the blight of desire touches not. A hundred and a hundredfold of this measure of bliss of the firstborn in heaven is one bliss of the gods of work who are gods, for by their strength of the deeds they depart and are gods in heaven. And this is the bliss of the Veda-wise, whose soul the blight of desire touches not. A hundred and a hundredfold of this measure of bliss of the gods of work is one bliss of the great gods who are gods forever. And this is the bliss of the Veda-wise, whose soul the blight of desire touches not. And a hundredfold of this measure of divine bliss is one bliss of Indra, the king in heaven. And this is the bliss of the Veda-wise soul, whose soul the blight of desire touches not. A hundred and a hundredfold of this measure of Indra's bliss is one bliss of Brihaspati, who taught the gods in heaven. And this is the bliss of the Veda-wise, whose soul the blight of desire touches not. A hundred and a hundredfold of this measure of Brihaspati's bliss is one bliss of Prajapati, the Almighty Father. And this is the bliss of the Veda-wise, whose soul the blight of desire touches not. A hundred and a hundredfold of this measure of Prajapati's bliss is one bliss of the Eternal Spirit. And this is the bliss of the Veda-wise, whose soul the blight of desire touches not. The Spirit who is here in a man, and the Spirit who is there in the Son, it is one Spirit, and there is no other. He who knows this, when he has gone away from this world, passes to this self which is of food, he passes to this self which is of prana, he passes to this self which is of mind, he passes to this self which is of knowledge, he passes to this self which is of bliss. Wherefore, of this is the scripture. The bliss of the Eternal, from which words turn back without attaining, and mind also returns baffled. Who knows the bliss of the Eternal? He fears not for aught in this world or elsewhere. Verily, to him comes not remorse and her tormenting saying, why have I left undone the good, and why have I done that which was evil? For he who knows the Eternal knows these, and delivers from them this his spirit. Yea, he knows both evil and good for what they are, and delivers his spirit. Who knows the Eternal? And this is the Upanishad, the secret of the Veda. Together may he protect us. Together may he possess us. Together may we make unto us strength and virility. May our reading be full of light and power. May we never hate. Om, peace, peace, peace. So this is the charter of the discovery of the soul, and this is the bliss. You need not be God yourself to go into heaven to have that bliss. Even here, if by learning the Veda, by knowing the true knowledge, if the soul attains to a stage where desire does not touch him, then all this bliss is his.